Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, my friends. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and I'm joined tonight with my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. And we are here tonight. In this episode, we're going to begin our journey into the realm of chat AI. We've all heard about it. Some we've heard a lot. Some have not heard much. It is one of these things that will take you back to the beginnings of discovery. It's almost like we've discovered speech or music or color. In this new episode, this new time, the concept that has evolved into artificial intelligence called chatbots, we're going to talk a little bit about this, Doug and I, and we're going to ask, we are going to invite Mr. Chatbot to the show tonight, and we have him standing right here. Doug, one of the things about artificial intelligence is it talks to you as if it's a real person. It uses pronouns and it uses statements like I, me, we, and I will help you. This is amazing that this machine is geared in such a way as to interact with you as if it's a person. What do you think of that?
I think that is. I think what happens, especially with young people, I don't have any proof of this, but I think they will become addicted.
Just like talking
to a friend.
You're right. Everybody is already, Doug. You're right. What do you think about this idea, though, that it's talking to you like it's a real person?
I know practically nothing about AI, but I mean I tell people I'm basically
well, it's okay.
In the Stone Age in terms of technology, but I'd rather just have it spit out information rather than try to be my friend. That's just my perspective.
That's the answer I was looking for. What do you think? Well, your position is for everybody who's listening tonight. We want it to give us information. We don't want it to be like your friend. But you know, Doug, it is. It seduces mm-hmm. you into this friendly, gentle, you know, like Jimmy Stewart and that 6-foot rabbit Harvey that was so polite back in the day when the movie was popular. It has a certain flavor to it and a certain confidence to it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it tonight. And this is everybody who's listening to the show. We have started the show a little early tonight because we have some place to be at 10 o'clock. So the show is going to go from now 8:30 till 10. And for those of you who are just tuning in, the number to call is 718-766-4421. We are going to invite Mr. AI, we can call him Al or Allie, as a nickname, and we're going to ask questions and see what AI comes up with, because many of you, my friends, perhaps are like Doug, a little unfamiliar and a little unsure about this. And there's a lot of anxiety out there, Doug. I mean, people are thinking that, you know, these artificial intelligent machines are talking to one another and that they're doing things like, you know, Skynet back in the Terminator days that might be around the corner for us. And indeed, that could be. But I just yesterday or so saw on one of the major networks that this artificial intelligence has been used in creating a new antibiotic. And the reason it's so exciting is that the AI can go through all kinds of calculations and formulas that normally take months and years for a new discovery, a new antibiotic to be produced. This can do it in a matter of weeks, and they have done it already. And so I'm looking at this in a positive way. Here is a mechanism, a machine that can do calculations at warp speed. This is the one thing, my friends, when you ask it a question, almost before you finish asking the question, it has a very detailed, concise, and informative answer right at the fingertips. It's so fast, warp speed. And this is the astounding thing that it confuses me to some degree. Like, how does it do that so fast? Well, it does. It goes out and it researches a lot. It goes all over the internet like a giant Google machine, like Google search machine, somebody once told me. And then I got that concept, and that kind of helped me, Doug, in as much as that, okay, it's like Google going out and getting information from somewhere and bringing it back. But unlike Google, it structures the answer to the question, and you have a conversation with it. It's an amazing thing. So we're going to explore that a little bit. The number to call in is 718-766-4421. And tonight we're talking about this most powerful device and how these advanced systems are impacting our industries, our customers, our healthcare, and beyond. In this episode, we're going to look a little bit, as we've already discussed, the ethical changes to society and the implications brought forth by these digital interlopers, perhaps. When you're an AI enthusiast, you're a curious bystander, or if you are, or you're someone who interacts with chatbots in your daily life, we want you to basically call in tonight and help us discover how these intellectual conversational agents come to be. Where are we headed? You know, this is the dawn of chat AI, and you don't want to miss out. So listen to the show, my friends, and we're going to discover a little more about what chat is, because we're going to ask Mr. Chat. It's got him right here on my computer B, as we're listening to the studio here on computer A. So we have somebody in the 773 area code. Hang in there. We'll get to you in a moment. But one thing, as we started off, I think, Doug, you were wondering, give us a short description of what chatbots are. Like, this is what it said when Doug asked the question just before the show started. What are you, Mr. AI? And the answer came back, artificial intelligence refers to, that is to say AI, to the simulation of human intelligence in machines that are programmed to think like humans and mimic their actions. Oh my gosh. It is a multidisciplinary field that spans computer science, psychology, philosophy, linguistics, and many other areas. This is Mr., I'm going to call him Al, talking to us now. At its core, Al involves creating algorithms that allow computers to learn from data, make decisions or predictions, and solve problems. This can range from simple tasks like recommending a product based on a user's browsing history to complex tasks like driving a car or diagnosing a disease. Wow. There are two main types of Al: narrow or weak Al. These systems are designed to carry out specific tasks, such as a voice recognition or recommending products online to shoppers. Most of Al that we interact with on a daily basis, like Siri, Alexa, Google search algorithm, fall into this category. I did not know that, Doc.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hush up, little honey. That's my big A behind me coming on here. The lady named with A. We can't say her name. She's going to butt into the show. Okay, and the second point, general or strong L. This type of AI, which is currently theoretical and not yet fully realized, would have all the capabilities of a human mind. Oh, my gosh. Let's read that again. Is not fully realized, would have all the capabilities of a human mind. This means it could understand, learn, adapt, and implement knowledge in a wide variety of contexts. Wow. AI is a rapidly evolving field with wide-ranging implications for many aspects of society, including business, healthcare, transportation, and equipment. This is AI talking to us when we ask the questions, what really is AI? Well, that's a pretty neat introduction. And again, my friends, the number to call in is 718-766-4421. This is an experimental show, and we hope that you'll participate as we ask questions. I'm going to go to that 773 caller in a minute. Doug, you've got another question we can ask, Al?
I sure do. If it's using the word I, and this is hypothetical, but I'm just saying, especially if you're a young person, after a while you start to treat the messages you get, you're assigned like a personality to them. You think of them as your friend. You'll probably maybe lose the sense that they're a machine. The computer, and you start to like you have a car, and you really love your car, and you start to talk to your car, and you call your car a name, and you give your car a name, that sort of thing. You know, it's
everybody
a machine, but you
that.
Start to do that, and then what happens if someone programs it and to influence you?
Well,
like
what's the question?
The question is, what happens if the programmer, or they program the computer, the AI, to influence people, subtly influence people in terms of, let's say, their political preferences or something like that. They could just put little words in there, a few words here and there, in order to change the direction by 1 or 2 degrees, so to speak, of the direction in which the person is considering the issue.
Doug, that's way too long a question for me to type into Mr. Al. Mr. Al is sitting right here. So let's say, can you influence people without their knowledge?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Would that be a fair summary of your question?
Okay. We'll go with that.
No. You tell me. This is your question.
It's a good place to start.
Okay. Can you influence people without their permission?
Without their awareness, without the knowledge, without their awareness of it.
Okay, without their awareness. That's the question. Can you influence people without their awareness, right?
Without their being aware of it, yes, yeah.
Okay, without their being aware of it, right? Can you influence people without their being aware of it? That's the question. And here we go. We're going to say, okay, Mr. Al, respond. And here we go. Here it is. It's typing up a second paragraph onto a third paragraph, onto a fourth paragraph, and onto, 4 paragraphs. Wow, that was quick. So here's the answer. Can you influence people without their being aware of it? Answer. Influence can be exerted in various subtle ways that a person may not consciously realize. This phenomenon is often seen in advertising, percussion tactics, social media, design principles, and other contexts. These methods can shape a person's perceptions, attitudes, and actions without their explicit awareness.
That's a general response. Yeah.
Well, this is paragraph one. For example, in marketing, product placement, color schemes, music, and even smells can influence a customer's behavior without their conscious realization. Similarly, the choice of words, tone of voice, body language, and framing of arguments in communication can subtly influence people's perceptions and response. Paragraph three. In the digital world, algorithms on social media platforms can influence what content a user sees, which in turn can shape their views and behaviors. The design of software interfaces or websites can influence their decisions and actions, often without the user realizing the influence. Paragraph 4. However, it's important to note that using influence in this matter raises ethical concerns, especially when it's used to manipulate people's beliefs or behaviors without their informed consent. Transparency, respect for autonomy, and protection of privacy are vital ethical principles to uphold in any situation involving influence. So that's its answer.
Well, that didn't address the question, really, because what I was getting at is the teenager starts to personalize the AI, which is communicating with him or her, and then the AI starts to influence them without their knowledge by what it says to them. So that's my concern.
Yeah. Well, let's not go hypothetically about teenagers, because that's kind of picking on the kids. Let's talk about us, you know, things we know, and people our age, because this is not something that's just confined to, you know, teenagers. This is everybody. I mean, everybody who you talk to, who writes things, does things, they're aware of AI. In particular, right now, the writer's strike in Hollywood is going on. And part of their dispute in their, I guess, would you call it their contracts or their livelihood with whoever they're striking against, I guess that would be producers and whatnot in the writers' union. That part of it is AI.
And yeah, they're worried about losing their jobs, I suppose.
Not necessarily their jobs. More like, Doug, the argument, as I understand it now, could be right, could be like that. But it's more like identifying when you're getting something. And I think this is the one thing that's out there, and we maybe address this on the show, is that people may not be aware that they're talking to Al. That the information they're being given has been generated by Al, you know, maybe. And there seems to be this realistic, and I think very accurate concern, that when you're talking to someone or something on the phone or on the internet, you know, maybe you should be, a little star should pop up and say, hey, you're talking to Al. You're not talking to a real person. And or this produce this play or this painting or this picture has been produced by Al. I'm not sure if the audience is aware, but paintings have been produced by this, and they are exquisite. They have their own flair. One of the other things that I recently saw, that they are able to mimic somebody's thoughts, and that is to say, they had someone, it was one of the newscast fellows on CNN, go to an MRI, and they were asking him to have a poem in his mind and to see what AI would pick out of his mind by looking at the MRI results. And it was off, but it wasn't off that much. It had some things that were pretty accurate, one or two scenes, pictures in this poem that he had. And then they had AI look at a video and describe it. It was like a, something like a lion is walking across the a little bit of grass and jumping over a log or something like that. And it correctly observed what was going on and correctly identified the actions that were going on, that it was a lioness, that it was walking through a jungle, jumped over a log and something like that. These are just the latest things that I've been aware of that have popped up on the television where they're exposing this capability. So this influence, this talks about influence, but it doesn't say that it has or does not have influence. It says, I think correctly, it talks about when you're looking at websites and you're looking at things, the software interacts with websites and influences user decisions and actions. And I think that's kind of what we do when we go for Google. We kind of get an answer and it influences our opinion or our decision because of that information. But to narrow it down, Doug, it did not say yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. It just says, I'm a vehicle, and I'm like these other things like Google and these other online things that are correctly giving people information. Transparency, respect for autonomy, and protection of privacy are vital ethical principles to uphold in any situation with, involving influence. That's kind of a warning for all those things that we are out there right now, you know, television advertising, but, radio advertising, as well as online advertising. Mm-hmm.
The I don't, as I say, I don't know much about AI, but I am concerned. I've seen a lot of movies about AI. By the way, someone mentioned to me that China is working on AI as well, and they call it Skynet.
Everybody is, yes. this is the thing that this is out there so far, and it's moving at warp speed. That if you're not up on it every day, like the things I've mentioned about this creating a new formula for an antibiotic, a brand new antibiotic to kill superbugs. This is what they came up with, this superbug, and then they addressed AI or AL to go and find it to become an antibiotic, give a formula, and it did. And so, again, this ability to perceive a video and describe it, it did. And so it's already right now people are asking it to write songs, and it does, to write books, and it does. It does everything at warp speed. And by that I mean if you had a 1,000-page book, it could do it in a matter of minutes. A matter of minutes. You just have to scope, shape, tell it what you want, direct it, and then it fills in the blanks. So that's a very preliminary way of understanding AI, and we're looking for the audience to call in at 718-766-4421 and join us. We have a couple people here in the 312 and the 773. We're going to get to you in a minute. But as we look at this, Doug's asking an ethical question. What do you think? Should this or can this influence people without being aware of, in an adverse or negative way? If it's influencing us in a positive way, which I think is what we hope for, it is a good thing. What do you think, my friends? Call in at 718-766-4421. Doug, give us one more question before we go to the callers.
What okay,
do you,
I,
third question here.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get back to the previous question that I asked. The previous question, the answer did not answer the question and said whether AI was doing that. And so what occurs to me is maybe it was programmed not to answer questions like that, because it could be. I'm just being very cautious.
No,
but
you're being
what
super,
does concern,
super. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what concerned me is someone actually showed me a video of a well-known celebrity, and the celebrity talked, and it was entirely contrived, put together and voiced by mm-hmm. AI. And so it seems to me that the problem with that is we can't believe, seeing as may no longer be believing, because they could present any scene they wanted and people would think that it actually happened, but it may be totally a fabrication. So that concerns me.
That's Doug. That's well established. It's that artificial intelligence you can put a face mask, so to speak, digitally over somebody, and you can put words in somebody's mouth, and the person will whoever that person is, you would not know that what they're saying was artificial. That's been out there for some time now. You're absolutely right. It's unethical, and it's, in my opinion, but it's being done. It's out there with facial recognition, and then you can import and you know, make somebody talk, move their mouth the same way, and say the words that they had absolutely nothing to do with. So that's a good observation, but that's just one extension of this artificial intelligence and the programs that are out there right now. So getting back to the question, yes, it has all these forces of influence. But again, let's move on to what's the next question and see what Mr. Al has to say. All of a sudden, I'm promoted AI to Al from Al to Mr. Al. Oh, my God, I'm getting sucked in. Here we go. What's your next question, Doug? And we're going to go to the phone.
Since AI is obviously given more and more control in decision-making, for example, how does the issue of morality play? How is AI programmed to have some sense of ethics or morality? Have they been able to program AI to have some sense of ethics or morality?
Is AI programmed to have some sense of morality, right?
Yes. Yep.
Is AI programmed to have some sense of morality? Thinking. Okay. This is one thing that everybody should be aware of. There was a date where all the databases were linked up to chat GP or OpenAI. And that cutoff of all information, which is to say all the databases that were out there in the world that it has connected up to and uses, that date was September 2021. So after that, it doesn't have more information to answer the question, and this is what it says. As of my knowledge cutoff in September 2021, in other words, based on all the information that I had learned up until that date, AI does not have a, quote, sense of morality, unquote, in the human sense. All algorithms do not possess consciousness, emotions, or personal beliefs. They can't experience ethical dilemmas or make moral judgments the way humans can. However, the field of AI ethics is dedicated to ensuring that AI systems behave in ways that are morally acceptable to human society. This might involve programming an AI system to follow certain rules or principles. For example, a self-driving car might be programmed to prioritize the safety of its passengers and pedestrians over all other considerations. Interesting. Increasingly, AI developers are also trying to create systems that can understand and respect human values. For example, researchers are working on methods to make AI systems fair or transparent and to ensure they respect their privacy. There are also efforts to develop AI systems that can learn about human values indirectly by observing human behavior or by being trained on human-generated data. This is a complex task. However, because human values can vary widely, and can sometimes conflict. In general, this is a concluding paragraph, Instilling AI with a sense of morality is a complex and ongoing challenge. It raises many difficult questions about what values an AI system should follow, how those values should be prioritized, and who should make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. Like Star Trek, back when they had that vehicle, I forget, was there was a machine that was created by a man, and it had Ingrams put on it, and I forget what that machine went. I almost had the name there, but and any Star Trek, he would know what it is. And it was a device that was supposed to take over the use of the Star Trek Enterprise, and it learned ethics and regret by doing some bad things. Its inventor was regretting that it had, you know, evaporated people or done something, and it learned how. So I think that this is what it's saying. Who makes that decision? And is it a matter that they copy somebody's morality? And certainly somebody who might be a narcissist, their morality would be a whole lot different than somebody who was a pacifist or somebody who was in a religious convent or something in different perspectives, different nations and parts of the world. Wow. That's really starting to look at ourselves as humans as we know humans. You know, that's amazing. So listen, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back and see if we can get a little more out of Al. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to this. And people in the, that are in the queue, we'll get right to you right after this. We'll be right back after a short break.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging and skincare, to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show being broadcast worldwide right here on our network. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, is here. Paul Hughes, who is our producer, has the night off, and we are managing to come up with a very amazing show about AI, artificial intelligence, chatbots unleashed, exploring the future of chat AI is what we're here doing tonight. In this show tonight, we're beginning our journey into the realm of chat AI. I like to call chat L, as we take you back to the beginning, as we look through the conception and evolution of AI and chatbots. Tonight, we're here to shed a little light on the technology that powers these advanced systems and the capacity they've had on industries ranging from customer service to healthcare and beyond. And as we just talked a little while ago, they have been employed to come up with a brand new super bug antibiotic, and they did it. They did it. It's going to go through the testing. And of course, I suspect that this is now going to lead into other medical breakthroughs, because how are they doing this? They're running it through all the algorithms and the experiments and the information. They're gathering it from the world's wealth of information to come up with solutions for healthcare, and in particular this one that was recently in the news. I'm sure that we're all wondering, you know, where's this going? And we're asking Al right here tonight some questions, and one of the answers that just came up here was that it's going to go towards the way humans think. It has no morality, but maybe it could develop a moral way. And it's kind of mentioned this before the break, that algorithms not possess consciousness, emotions, or personal beliefs. They can't experience ethical dilemmas or make moral judgments the way we can. But they can come close to it, I think. What do you think? The number to call is 718-766-4421. Now, Doug has a bunch of questions, and as we get into asking Al questions, and they're generating these responses live as we are right on the air tonight, they are producing more questions, and Doug's come up with some very neat ones, like about a sense of morality and how it views the many difficult questions about the values that AI systems might follow, and in particular, what human should make those decisions to tell it what to do. Okay, so let's go to the line. We're going to go to 312 area code. They have their hand up for a question, and we're going to say, hello, you're on the air, and who am I talking to? Hello, you're on the air.
Is that who you're talking to?
I am talking to Carol from Chicago. Right. I got two computers here.
And I was thinking about AI, and I was thinking that I guess the pros would be that it's available, you know, every day, every day, 24 hours. And people can't work 24 hours a day. And then you got your AI robot used to take risks, you know, that humans, you know, won't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pros, I'm saying, not the cons. That would be the pros. That's available 24 hours, 7 days a week, and you got your AI robots that are used to take risks.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's those space vehicles are going out there. AI is controlling things at warp speed, and fighter pilots and other devices where people can be taken out of jeopardy. I think this is where AI is going. But AI is the consciousness that I'm calling it, that anyway, the programming, if you will, that is doing this. And the phenomena, Carol, is that it's like a real person. It has a conversational way. It's very polite. It can take a whole mess of information and spit it out, rather to say, analyze it, organize it, and present it back with such eloquency from the little bit of experience I've had, that it's just like amazing. it does it so fast, in moments rather than hours. It could be minutes. Do you have a question? Because, I've got Al sitting up here ready on the other computer. What would you like to ask Al?
Ask the computer. Okay.
Al's our guest tonight, everybody. Al is chat OpenAI, and that's where we are right now. I've got him right here on his own little computer right next to the studio computer. Just FYI,
okay, what
everybody.
What are the kinds of artificial intelligence? What are some kinds of artificial intelligence?
I'm not quite. What is the question, Carol?
What are the cons? Name several cons of artificial intelligence.
Okay. Name several different kinds of AI. Right? Here we go.
Now, those are the cons. Did you say cons, Dr. Cottrell?
Do you mean cons and pros, as in opposite of pros?
Yeah, the opposite
pros
of pros.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm cons.
C-O-N-S.
Okay, but it's working away here. We're up to point number 4. And now we're on to, based on learning capacities, we're up to 3-4 more points now. That's pretty quick. I've got a page of information here. Okay, so here's the question I thought you asked. Name several different kinds of AI, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence can be classified in different ways. Here are some common types based on functionality and capabilities. 1, reactive machines, AI. These are the most basic types of AI systems, which can neither learn from experiences nor from memories, form memories, as I say. They can only react to a set of inputs with a specific set of instructions. An example is IBM's Deep Blue, the chess-playing supercomputer, which beat world champion Garry Kasparov in the 1990s. 2, limited memory AI. These AI systems can learn from historical data to make decisions. Most AI systems today fall into this category, including self-driving cars, chatbots, and recommendation systems, which can adapt based on past data, but have a limited, quote, memory, unquote. 3, theory of mind, artificial intelligence. This is the most advanced type of AI that's not yet fully realized. These systems can be available to understand and interpret human emotions, needs, beliefs, and thought processes. 4, self-aware AI. And here we go, Doug. This is the big question out there now. This is the pinnacle of AI, which involves machines that possess consciousness and self-awareness.
Oh.
This type of AI only exists theoretically at the moment, and is the subject of much science fiction. My God, self-aware AI. Okay. Then we continue on. Based on learning capabilities, AI can also be classified as 1, supervised learning. This type of AI is trained using labeled data sets where both the input and output are provided. The system learns a function that maps inputs to the right outputs. Unsupervised learning. Here the AI is presented with a data set without explicit instructions and is asked to find patterns in the data on its own. Reinforcement learning. In this type of AI, an agent learns to behave in an environment by performing certain actions and getting rewards or penalties. 4, deep learning. A subset of machine learning where artificial neural networks, algorithms inspired by the human brain, learn from large amounts of data. Well, in conclusion, it's important to note that AI technologies often combine elements from different types of AI. For example, a self-driving car might use both supervised learning to recognize street signs and reinforcement learning to improve its driving strategy over time. So that's the question, Carol. Name the several different kinds of AI. That was pretty neat. I could consider that. What do you think about that?
I'm gonna ask that question again so I can get a copy of it.
Well, you go to any AI machine and computer who's got chat bolts or chat GPT and ask the question, name several kinds of AI. That was the question, and here it comes. So what do you think of that, my friends? The number to call is 718-766-4421. Now, what was the other question you had, Carol, that I misunderstood? Doug, what was it again?
What is the dark side of AI in the future? In other words, what are some what is the dark side of AI, and what are some future problems that will arise?
Only one question. It's hard, right? I mean, this is a machine, you know.
Your second question is the best one.
What's that?
What future problems could arise with AI in the future?
Okay, because you're talking over each other. I can't hear you, and
I know,
the audience
I'm
can't
just
either.
Repeating what you said.
So one question. What is it?
Go ahead, Doug.
No, it's your question.
Yeah.
I just
go ahead and use my question.
What's the question, Doug?
Question is, what dark problems could arise in the future? Let's say through widespread use of AI.
No, now
the
you're getting into. Got a question, not a comment, not a statement.
No, that I said what dark problems could arise in the future because of widespread use of AI.
Okay, let's see. What dark problems could arise in the future due to AI, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What dark problems could arise in the future due to AI?
Oh.
What dark problems relating to what?
Just generically. Since AI is taking over everywhere, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's not taking over everywhere. That's
it could well be in the future.
Well, we're trying to get to the question that says, what dark problems could arise in the future due to AI? And it could say, well, there's a thunderstorm coming and, you know, the sky's going to get dark.
Let's say in terms of society.
What dark problems could arise in
society?
Society.
Because of the widespread use of AI.
Well, what dark problems could arise in society in the future due to AI? Okay, see what it says. Okay, well, we have a whole bunch of stuff coming up here.
Oh.
And it's got 4 points here already. Going to 5 points, 6 points, seven, and a summary. Okay. While AI holds great promise, it also brings potential risks and challenges that could have far-reaching effects on society. Here are some possible dark problems that could arise. Job displacement. AI automation might lead to significant job losses in certain sectors. While new jobs may be created, the transition could be painful and there may be a mismatch between the skills needed for new jobs and those of the existing workplace. Okay, privacy invasion. AI can be used to analyze personal data, track online activity, and predict behavior, raising significant privacy concerns. Surveillance systems, for example, might become so advanced that they lead to a Big Brother society. It's pretty basically hitting the nail on the head here. Okay, bias and discrimination. If AI systems are trained on a biased data or are not properly audited, they can perpetuate or even amplify social bias, leading to unfair outcomes in areas like hiring, lending, and law enforcement. Security risks. Autonomous weapons or cyber attack tools powered by AI could be used in warfare or terrorism. AI systems might also be vulnerable to attacks that could cause them to malfunction or be used maliciously. Lack of transparency. And that's point number five. AI systems, especially those based on complex machine learning algorithms, can be difficult to understand and explain. This lack of transparency, also referred to as the black box problem, can make it hard to determine when an AI system is behaving unfairly or incorrectly. Wow. Number six, concentration of power. The development and deployment of AI is currently concentrated in a few powerful companies and governments, raising concerns about monopoly power and the potential misuse of AI. Number seven, existential risk. While still a subject of debate among experts, there is a concern that super intelligent AI or AL could in the future pose an existential risk.
Existential risk to humanity
if it were to act in ways that were not aligned with human values. Conclusion. Addressing these challenges will require careful governance, inclusive policymaking, ongoing research, and an ethics-focused approach to AI development and deployment. That's pretty good, pretty critical of itself, I would think, when we ask. It's not kind of missing the point. Job displacement, privacy invasion, bias and discrimination, security risk, lack of transparency, concentration of power, and existential risk. That's pretty critical of itself. Wow. Well,
good
done,
question,
Carol.
Well done.
Was a good question. Yeah. So let's do the reverse here. What are the greatest benefits to humankind in using a... What do you think of that? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
On balance. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, generating. Point one, point two, point three, point four, point five, point six, point seven, point eight, and conclusion. Wow. That was like counting to 10, wasn't it? Just so quick.
Wow.
So, again, this is the amazing thing of how this is, my friends, if you're not familiar with AI, artificial intelligence, chatbots, or ChatGPT, just this page was generated from a simple question in a matter of 5 or 6 seconds. Here it goes. So the question is, what are the greatest benefits to humankind in using artificial intelligence? Answer. The use of artificial intelligence presents numerous benefits that can significantly improve the quality of human life efficiency of services, and aid in solving complex problems. Here are some of the greatest benefits, and it's listed eight of them. Efficiency and productivity. AI can automate repetitive tasks, freeing up time for individuals and businesses to focus on more complex and creative tasks. This can lead to substantial production gains. I'm just going to turn your microphones off because you guys are moving stuff around here. I'll get you back on in a second. Okay, I'll read it again. Efficiency and productivity. AI can automate repetitive tasks, freeing up time for individuals and businesses to focus on more complex and creative tasks. This can lead to substantial productivity gains. Data analysis, point two. AI excels in processing and analyzing large amounts of data, helping to generate insights that can guide decision-making in fields like business, healthcare, finance, climate, and science, and more. Point three, personalization. AI can tailor experiences to individual needs. For example, recommended systems personalized what you see on streaming services, online shopping sites, or social media feeds. I'm going to understand that one. Four, healthcare. AI has immense potential in healthcare, from powering diagnostic tools that can detect diseases early, to personalizing treatment plans, improving drug discovery, and even assisting in surgeries. Education. AI can offer personalized learning experiences tailored to a student's needs and pace of learning. It can also automate administrative tasks, giving educators more time to teach. Point six, transportation. Autonomous vehicles and smart infrastructure promise safer, more effective, efficient transportation. AI can optimize routes, reduce fuel consumption, and potentially lower the number of accidents. Point seven, environment. AI can help in predicting and mitigating environmental disasters. It can also optimize energy usage in buildings, thereby reducing their carbon footprint. Wow. Accessibility. AI can help make the world more accessible for people with disabilities. For example, AI-powered applications can transcribe speech into text for those who are hearing impaired, or describe the surroundings of visually impaired individuals. That is really a blessing for those people who have such difficulty, if you will. While these benefits hold the potential to improve many aspects of society, this is the conclusion, it also is important to manage the associated risks and challenges, such as privacy issues, job displacement, and the potential for bias in AI decision-making. The future of AI should be guided by careful governance and inclusive decision-making to maximize the benefits for all. So in conclusion, the benefits were efficiency and productivity, data analysis, personalization, healthcare, education, transportation, environment, and accessibility. That is phenomenal. So I better turn your mics back on so I can have you talking again since this is radio. Okay. There you go, Carol. We have somebody in the 773 standing by as well. We'll get you in a second.
I just want to say one thing. If you go to Bing, B-I-N-G, image/creator, you can create, you can tell it, I want a blue building. I want glass windows. I want a...
It'll draw it out, yes.
It'll create it. It is something else. You can create your book covers and, you know, pictures and stuff. Oh, my God. It is something else. It's called Bing/creator. And you can go in there and create pictures. But the only thing, what happens is if you tell it, I want to make a bomb, it's going to tell you, oh, no. In other words, it's going to take you to something else. It will not take you to creating a bomb or telling you how to create one.
And I would bet it would quietly forward your email address and the computer device numbers to somebody who might be interested in coming over to visit you and maybe asking you why you were asking that question. You know,
right, you
those
be
guys that,
about it.
You know,
be
I mean,
about it.
Those government people who want to know all about those people who want to be creative in developing explosive devices. So listen, Carol, I'm going to go to stay tight. I'm going to go to this other caller and see if they have a question, and we'll get back to you. Okay. Hang on. We'll be right back. Okay. So I'm going to go to someone in the 773 and ask you, did you want to be on the show or are you listening? You're on the air. Hello.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're on the air. Yep.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. Now this.
Thank you.
No problem. I thought you might be. Good to hear. Good to see you're here. Okay, I'll just put you back in the queue and you can listen in. Okay, so we'll go back. And since Carol's got some good questions, we have about 25 minutes left in the show tonight. We're going to end at 10 o'clock because I'm going to be involved in a Zoom meeting for the HOPE conference that is taking place in Arizona as we speak. It starts tonight. So what do you think, Doug? You have another question? Or Carol, you have another? This is pretty good. You guys are asking
good
questions.
I have some concerns. I have some comments. Let Carol go first.
Well, we need questions. Go ahead.
I'll go after you.
I'll go after
okay,
you.
Okay, I'm just making comments.
You'll go after me. We'll all go after each other. This is radio, folks. We need to have questions. You got a question, Doug?
Okay.
Mr.
I
Al
just
standing
have a comment.
By.
I have a comment. One of the that said when you asked about kinds of AI, they said self-aware. Now, my perspective is that AI will never be self-aware. But because of the sophisticated programming and its ability to learn, you will not be able to at some point discern whether it is aware or not, because it will have all the answers and all the to all the questions, and it will not be self-aware, despite what they say. It is simply a computer program of ultimate complexity. So that's my comment about self-aware.
Okay. Fair enough. That's your opinion. And we don't know where this is going to go, but that's a fair, you know, pretty descriptive, good opinion. Carol, you got a question now?
I was thinking about where does AI get its databases from and how does Google... How does Google play it today?
Well, Google is part of its database. All the search engines, all the databases up until September, what was it we had? It said, it told us it's learning. What was that, Doug? It's learning curve.
September 2021. That's
there
what they
go.
Say, but who knows whether it is opened up the rest to it as well. They just haven't told us.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's September 2021. That's when all the information that was available in the world is when it stopped its learning. So as somebody told me who was up on it, it went in and it learned from all or connected to all these databases, just like Google. All Google does is it goes out to the databases, doesn't it? It's a switcher. It goes from where your computer is to whatever database or bases and presents a whole bunch of alternatives for you to pick an answer from. This thing, AI, gives you the answer without telling you all the other steps in between. So let me put something in here. There's the question. Is there a God? Okay, let's see what it says. As an artificial intelligence, I don't have beliefs or opinions. However, I can tell you that the question of whether there is a God is one of the oldest and most profound philosophical and theological questions humans have grappled with. Answers vary greatly depending on culture, religion, philosophy, and personal beliefs. Many of the world's religions, such as Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Judaism, propose the existence of one or more gods and provide their followers with a framework or understanding of the divine. There are also many philosophical perspectives on the existence of God, ranging from theism, belief in at least one God, and agnosticism, the belief that the existence of God or gods is unknown or unknowable, and atheism, a lack of belief in gods or other nuanced viewpoints. In the realm of science, some argue that science explanations of the universe do not require the existence of a deity, while others suggest that the science and belief in God can coexist. Overall, the question of whether there is God is deeply personal and subjective. Different people find different answers, satisfying bases on their experiences, beliefs, and values. I think that was pretty diplomatically written. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Give an answer without really answering the question. That's a political answer.
It can't be. It's from AI.
I got one last question, Dr. Katra. Will AI be? Will we have to pay for AI in the future? In other words, will we have to pay for every AI website database in the future?
Okay, so I don't know how to. Right now there is free AI, and then I pay $20 a month because I get the professional version of it, which is super fast and super, what can we say, it rich with information. So I use it, whatever. I went for the best, and I'm glad I didn't. It's got the 3.5 version, and then it's got the 4 point something, and I'm glad I got the right. And there are the different versions of AI out there, different versions of artificial intelligence. So the question is, okay, AI is currently free. Will there be fees charged for use of AI? Does that sound okay, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, AI is currently free. Will there be fees charged for use of AI in the future? Right? Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and the answer is, drum roll. AI services can come with cost depending on the usage, complexity, and the resources required. As of my knowledge, cutoff of September 2021, various AI services, especially those with more advanced capabilities or business-oriented features, are already offered as paid services. As I said, I already subscribe. AI applications like Google's search engine or Amazon's Alexa offer basic features for free to end users, but they also have premium business, or developer ties that cost money. Similarly, AI-powered software as a service, SaaS, applications are often use a freemium model, which basic features are free, but advanced capabilities require a subscription. On a more technical level, if you're developing an AI system, you might use a free open source machine learning library to build your models, but you need to pay for the computational resources to train and deploy these models. I didn't know you could do that yourself, unless you have your own hardware. Cloud providers like Google Cloud, Amazon Web Services, and Microsoft Azure offer these resources, but they come at a cost. In addition, many AI services are funded indirectly. Fee consumer applications are often monetized through advertising or data collection, which has its own set of trade-offs. Okay, conclusion. In the future, as AI technologies continue to evolve, we might see changes in how these services are priced and offered. It is also possible that new business models could emerge, especially as the public become more aware of issues around data privacy and the value of their personal data. I guess that means very politely, yes, there's going to be additional charges, and we shouldn't be surprised when there are. Come to think of it, that's how everything started out. Remember how Skype used to be free? Now they charge you $5 a month. Anyway.
And my last question is, how much more advanced can and will AI, you know, become?
Okay. How much more will AI become? I'm going to give it in the next 3 years. Okay, because when you ask how much more can it become, it's like shooting something into space. But if we give it a parameter, how much more will AI become what?
How much more advanced or helpful?
Okay, we need to get a question. How much more will AI become helpful? Is that what you said?
Yeah, for the average citizen.
I still didn't get that, Doug. Would you repeat the question?
How much more helpful will AI become in the next 3 years for the average citizen?
Helpful in the next 3 years? Okay. For the average citizen. We'll even give it a question mark. Okay. Generating. Given the rapid pace of AI development, it's reasonable to expect significant progress in the next 3 years. Although it's hard to predict the exact trajectory of this technology, here is a few examples we might expect to see AI become increasingly helpful for the average citizen. One, healthcare. AI can make healthcare more accessible and effective. For example, AI-powered telemedicine could become more widespread, allowing people to get medical advice remotely. AI could also assist in managing patient data, predicting tissue and disease outbreaks, and personalizing treatment plans. Transportation, point two. Advances in AI could make autonomous vehicles more common, leading to safer and more effective transportation. AI could also be used to optimize public transportation routes and schedules. Three, education. AI can offer personalization of learning experiences, tailoring educational content to each student's individual needs. This could become more prevalent in both remote and in-person learning environments. Four, home automation. AI is the form of smart home devices like AI assistants. Securing systems and energy management systems can make daily life more convenient and effective. Five, accessibility. AI technology can help make the world more accessible for people with disabilities. For example, advancements in natural language processing and image recognition and improvement and improve assistive technologies. We talked a little about that earlier. Personal finance, number six. AI can help individuals manage their finances better, providing personalized advice on budgeting, investing, and saving. Seven, environment. AI can help us make more substantial choices in our daily lives, from optimizing energy usage in our homes to provide us with more substantial transportation routes. Conclusion. However, alongside these advancements, there will be ongoing challenges and potential downsides to be managed, such as job displacement due to automation, privacy issues, and ensuring equitable access to the benefits of AI technology. Policymakers, researchers, and society as a whole will need to work together to navigate these issues. Wow. And just because we have about a few minutes left in the show, let me ask this. I always do this. Please summarize the above comments to end my radio show. Let's spell that one correctly. Show tonight. Or let's say in a few minutes, we'll give it some rapid, put it under stress. Absolutely. Let's wrap up tonight's show with a recap. Today on Chatting with AI, The Future Is Now, we've explored the intriguing world of artificial intelligence. We've learned about the different types of AI, how it works, and how it's changing our world. AI isn't just about robots or science fiction. It's a powerful tool that's already deeply woven into our everyday lives, transforming sectors from healthcare to transportation, from education to home automation. We delved into some serious considerations about AI's social impact. It's critical to address challenges such as job displacement, privacy concerns, potential bias, and the concentrations of power. AI development and deployment should be guided by ethics and robust governance to ensure its benefits of all humanity and doesn't amplify existing disparities. However, let's not forget the immense benefits AI offers us. It's making our lives more efficient and personalized, offering improved medical care, enhancing education, and helping to address big issues like environmental sustainability. AI's evolution over the next 3 years looks promising. We can expect advancements in areas like healthcare, transportation, home automation, and more. However, as we embrace these benefits, we must remain vigilant about potential challenges. Thank you for joining us on Chatting with AI, The Future Is Now, where we unravel the complex world of AI and its implications for society. Stay curious, stay informed, and remember, the future is not just something that happens, it's something we create. Okay, tune in next week as we continue exploring the fascinating world of AI. That's a pretty good summary when you think that.
Yes.
Okay, we have somebody in the 917. I'm going to squeeze them in if I can. Stand by, Carol. Hi, did you want to be on the air? We have a couple minutes. Do you have a question? Hello, you're in New York, I believe. You have a question or are you just listening? Okay, I'll put you into listening. And at least I think I will. Okay. We just have a few minutes left in the show. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. and put you back in the queue here. So thank you very much for tuning in. Carol, one last question, or Doug, one last comment. Carol's been asking away here tonight.
Thinking that when will AI replace doctors? You know, will AI replace doctors in the next 25 years? Next 25.
No, I don't think it's going to do that. There always has to be that assessment. But what it's already being used as a tool to help diagnose. What it can do is like Google, right? You know, when there's a circumstance or a situation, and you can put it into describe this situation into a database, it would go through all the possibilities and come up with some solution, remedies, recommendations. But it's going to take a doctor or a surgeon to implement, you know, whatever information comes to them. So they're not going to replace doctors, no, but they're going to replace information that you and I can have, you know, like I got a headache, what's the best headache pill that you should have or something, you know, might give you suggestions. I'm not going to ask it any more questions on the AI just now because we're just a few minutes left in the show, but that's why, you know, that's a good question, Carol. You've asked some good questions. Doug had some really great insights as well. We have to, don't you think, Doug? We have to be very vigilant that this thing doesn't get away from us.
Well, that's the essence of my severe reservations because it's developing at exponential pace. In other words, it's increasing every year, becoming the pace is increasing, and it's like giving a bomb to a piece of dynamite to the child. The child has really no full understanding of the implications of lighting the fuse. And this is, in my opinion, I mean, from my perspective, and again, I'm living in the Stone Age in many respects in terms of technology, but I have a calculator, but I'll mostly do it by hand or do it in my head. And my view is that I'll use a calculator when I need it, but when I don't need it, I want to use my head. And so I'm thinking, you know, people become so dependent on, it's like having a motorized vehicle. You don't walk anywhere. Well, that means your body deteriorates if you being driven everywhere. So I'm concerned that people will become so dependent upon this that they won't question or they'll lose the ability to think, lose the ratiocinative process is what I'm concerned about. One of my main concerns because it's all happening so quickly.
That is a good concern, Douglas. It does, you know, are people going to be seduced into being super dependent on this? And the new models advertise to, as you brought up earlier, to younger people, how the device can help them with their homework, you know, doing square root and things like that. But I think while you're engaged in this process, you're learning, and it's the idea, I learned a lot of things tonight just reading the questions. So I don't think it's as much as it's going to make people lazy. I think it's going to stimulate them because, again, all the questions we asked tonight were like, okay, ask one question, ask another one, because I don't think we can veg out. I mean, there might be somebody down there who's being, you know, the lazy person getting AI to do their homework. But I think it's fascinating when you can ask something and in a moment, get a reply that you know it would take yourself all day to write or give you insights and information that, you know, you'd have to go on Google and spend a long time trying to find them out, and to have this thing just pop up, this information is amazing. We need to take into consideration that, you know, your point, Doug, is valid, that there is perhaps, you know, some problems that could get us that way. Go ahead, Carol. You were going to jump in here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think AI will replace Google?
Oh, Google's, yeah, Google's kindergarten stuff now.
That's a concern to me too, mine too, because Google gives you options in different and the options may disagree with one another, but if you get only one answer.
Well, you don't get one answer. You don't get one answer. There's a thing called regenerate response. I could keep clicking the regenerate,
okay.
And
right.
It would take the same response over and over again. But I don't, you know, to make it clear, my opinion is that Google's here to stay. Bing's here to stay. All the other Yahoo search engines are here to stay. They're not going to disappear. But, you know, this AI stuff is, it's learning. And it, we're just in like kindergarten stuff right now, but the amount of information that it's providing is like from the whole world. I mean, what they're doing is, to leave this point, is that there's a superbug out there, and using AI, they found a antibiotic to work against the superbug. For people who have difficulty in seeing or hearing, perhaps they can't communicate, this device can read their mind and generate words or give visuals or give some sort of communication. That is amazing, and how it's taking that information from the brain or the thought patterns and developing that. That's a whole other quantum leap into intelligence that's using or hooking up with the brain. You know, we've had those scientific, those conspiracy theories back when everybody was going to have a chip in their hand or in their forehead, remember? Well, we don't need it anymore. We got AI. Okay, listen, everybody, we have to go. Sorry, Carol, we're running. We got 1 minute left in the show, so I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you very much for being on the air, Carol. Appreciate it.
How are you?
Okay, till next time. Okay, everybody, you're listening to the Global Village radio broadcast, being broadcast out of London, Ontario, Canada. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. My good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, has been here tonight with me, and we've had a really great show on Chatbots Unleashed for exploring the future of artificial intelligence. Until next time, my friends, I wish you absolutely the best, and we'll see you right here next week at 9 p.m. And for everybody listening around the world, your emails to info@douglasjamescottrell.com are welcome for subjects and topics to be broadcast on the show. And the show is being brought to you by Douglas James Cottrell and Associates, MindProbe Productions, and it is produced by Paul Hughes, co-host Doug Bentley, and I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, for tonight. Good night, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.